in Randolph County and from us around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Rand Sparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHCO, Randolph County.
From Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
And good morning. It is 9:27. I'm Jeff, and again, this is the People Speak. Hope you're having a good morning. I'm going to be talking today with Congressman Mike Bost, who's joining us. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I can't complain. So,
we've made it back from D.C. for a week back into the district. We're back, but obviously the Senate is not going to be back, because once they're sworn in for the impeachment, they are locked in. That's kind of unique that they, at least from what I'm understanding, once the Supreme Court justice was taking charge and he was sworn in by the most ranking member of the Senate, then the each of the members of the Senate had their assigned seating. They can no longer have telecommunication with them. They are basically a sworn jury, just like that. And they're basically, though they're not sequestered, they are sequestered in the fact that they cannot have open communications about the impeachment.
Wow.
So, kind of a unique situation. So I don't know that there's going to be, it'll be interesting how it plays out, because you want to remember that this has been portrayed and is nothing but a partisan chase of, I think one, the speaker proved that when she delayed sending over, and then she made such a big show of sending over, even to the point that when she signed the resolution that was voted on strictly in a bipartisan or in a partisan manner for the assignment of the handlers and then how they paraded over, when she signed it, she had special pins made. This is more like a political stunt than it is actually dealing with the seriousness of moving forward with an actual impeachment. And that's, I think we talked about that last month, obviously, because then that was whenever it should have automatically been sent over. But the dog and pony show that they've done and the way they continue to do it with two articles that are not crimes, their interpretations of how they feel, well, you don't. That doesn't meet the standards of bribery, doesn't meet the standards of treason or high crimes or misdemeanors. I don't care. They can spin it all they want, but everything that was done was well recorded and understood. You might not like what was done, but it was well within the powers of the administrative branch. And so, the thing is, if you don't like what was done, then, there's a voter's box coming up. But isn't it wild that here they were doing that at the same time as the China deal was being signed and the USMCA was being finalized so that the president may be signing that this evening or this afternoon?
A lot of things appear like coincidental.
And that's just it. As they were moved forward, because these were big wins for the president. The question is that why it was delayed? I don't know. All I know is let's look at what's going on with trade, because I know it means a lot to your listeners as far as ag is concerned. This deal with China was signed in and agreed to day before yesterday. Now, this is the first phase. Now, what it has done, and I think it's important to mention this because I know a lot of your listeners know this, it saw a sudden drop in the soybean prices. That being said, the markets fluctuate back and forth. The reason why there may have been a drop is because part of the deal is that China has to fulfill their obligation where they already purchased soybeans from another country. So they have to fulfill that requirement before they come back and fulfill ours. So the markets are kind of like, okay, what are we going to do with that? Anytime you have a larger sale in the market and a larger demand in the market, then the price starts going down. And you got to watch what happens in the market. I know that this is a knee-jerk reaction. A lot of people in that's got soybeans out there are a little worried. The experts say that it'll come back to a sensible rate. Watch it closely. But then you put that and tie that with what's going on right now, which is probably today. The USMCA will be signed in. The Senate passed it yesterday. We passed it before we left on the break before. Let's look at what it does. That's 70,000 Illinoisans depend on free trade and with Mexico and Canada. This frees that up and allows it to work. We've urged Pelosi to bring it up. It should have been brought up a year ago and we would have been into this, and it would have probably gave us even better negotiations for a better deal with China had we had that signed into law. But as it is, we're where we're at. So hopefully it'll be signed into law today. What it does is it opened up markets to Canada and Mexico with wheat, poultry, hogs, other livestock. Canada, the big thing is the dairy products that's been opened that have been sealed up to us for years, but now those doors have swung open. So this is big for farmers, manufacturers, and producers throughout the United States. Trade partner is Mexico, second is Canada, and third, China. So as we move forward, these were the things we were worried about. And you and I have talked about that. Along with that, every time I've had a meeting with any of my agricultural people, their statement was, look, we understand how important it is to deal with China and get that done. We understand how important this USMCA is. We know that the president's heading down the right path. Just don't let it take too long. Well, it felt like a long time, but we're really signed in, and now things should start really getting rolling. In an economy that's fantastic.
Right. I'll tell you what, Congressman, let's take a break here, and we'll come back and talk some more.
Okay.
You're listening to People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. This is the People Speak. Welcome back. I'm Jeff, and again, we're talking today with Congressman Mike Bost. Congressman, you're talking about the impeachment hearings and also about the trade deal as well.
Trade deal, yeah. And let me say that, just in your break there, wow, I had not heard, even though usually we're informed about these things, but apparently that's breaking news while we were traveling back, who the lawyer's team is for the president. Those are some of the best, whether it's Starr or Gertzowitz. Let me also explain that you do understand that that's a bipartisan team. Alan Gertzowitz is a very strong Democrat, but a very strong constitutionalist as well, and has been very critical of the movements done by the Democrats in the House on this particular impeachment, on the lack of evidence and or meeting the standards set forth in the Constitution. Each one of them, along with probably other members of the team, should be interesting to see, because these are truly the constitutional scholars. And I know that I've said several times that when working in D.C., quite often we refer to the most read or most quoted, least read document as the Constitution. Because when you start applying the Constitution and their arguments come forward, you also need to go back and read the Federalist Papers, which I had the opportunity to do. When you start challenging, quite often when you're taught in our schools, you get the basic Constitution, you read the Constitution. But you've also got to understand that that's backed up by the writings of those people who were the writers and the drafters of that Constitution, and that's the Federalist Papers. In that, they wrote quite often the danger of using impeachment as a political tool, whether it was Monroe, Madison, or Jefferson that wrote specifically, and each one of them had different views on how much power the executive branch should have. But regardless of how much power that executive branch had, they were all worried in their writings that at some point in our history that the impeachment tool would be used as a political tool, and they warned against it. And that's what the problem is right now. And I believe that's probably going to be brought out in this impeachment before the Senate. But just so you know, we might want to talk on some other things here, Jeff. Though we were farther down the road, we didn't get the chance to talk about the strike that took out Soleimani and how it was done. And then, you know, the dangers when first people said, oh, my gosh, we're going to start a war. But the reality that came about in this is, one, is what you want to remember is you took out one particular very, very, very bad person that's been around spearheading many attacks on U.S. military personnel and the United States government as a whole. He was planning some very, very, very bad things, which the intelligence teams had entered, and it was escalating, and they actually had the dates. Matter of fact, had they not responded, we now know that had they not responded and had plans went forward with what that they were planning at the time, we would have seen those attacks take place on, we were already seeing an attack on one embassy, but other embassies as well. Now, what you have to do, realize is that by doing what we did, one, he was violating international law by being out of his own home country at the time that we hit him. We hit him with one single strike. The strike killed him and other military personnel that he, or another other other people who wore military personnel but were terrorists that were going to take out these attacks. And so when the attack occurred, it took him out. They threw a fit. They then, if you'll notice, they did the airstrike into the desert. I now notice what I said, into the desert. The amount of rounds that they fired, they fell short. They did not, but then they could go back and tell their people, oh, yes, we struck the Americans. So now they've done that. So we hope that the escalation will stop. Now, the unfortunate sideline to that is that in the inexperience, here's what happened. When the Iran deal first occurred, what happened is Iran got all of that money, and with all of that money, they purchased tremendous amount of weapons with very, very little training on how to use those weapons. Those weapons were fired and then unfortunately hit a civilian airline. Two missiles landed. We now know that. When doing that, it killed the 170-some people that were in, including many students from Canada. And I think it's sad that some people say, well, because Trump did this, the blood's on his hands. Well, no, actually, if you want to say anything, it's with the people that actually allowed them to buy those weapons in the first place. That being said, what has happened since then is the people of Iran are uprising against their own government because of the death of the attack on a passenger airline. And it was not the U.S. government did it, but their own country that did it. That's why right now we've also co-sponsored a resolution this last week to support the protesters in Iran and condemning the action of Iran government. So there's a lot of balls in the air here, Jeff, right now. But we know where we're at, and we have made American soldiers and airmen and Marines and sailors safer by what the actions of the president did.
Exactly. I agree with that fully. It, as you said, the unfortunate incident resulting from that strike, it's one of those things, as you said, inexperience and trying to do something they shouldn't have been doing in the first place.
That's correct. I mean, because I'm talking with an audience that knows, and they all feel that way too. We all grew up around the ability to use firearms to hunt. Mm-hmm. However, I'm not going to send a 7-year-old out without some safety training with any shotgun or rifle. Well, what you've just done is you took a very powerful weapon because they had money to buy it, and you put it in the hands of people without the proper training, and this is what occurs. But the only reason they could buy that was because in the Iran deal, which both Democrats and Republicans told then Secretary of State John Kerry, because I was in the room, told him they did not agree with this. They thought it was a very bad idea to remove the sanctions and to return the money. It was a very, very bad idea because you're not really stopping them from developing nuclear weapons. What you're doing is you're just delaying it and giving them more money to develop those and more money to cause terror around the region by having other weapons that are not nuclear. And so I think that the general public, you know, whether we're working our farms or whether we're working our daily jobs or just living life here in the United States, we forget that these things took place and warnings were given. Now, I remember the warnings because I was so new as being a member of Congress. That was my first time ever going into a classified meeting, was on the Iran nuclear or Iran deal. And it was a bad deal. It was very, very bad. And no way would they agree to, well, they would say they are going to agree, but then they started violating the deal over and over again. And so, you know, and I think that history has proved out and will continue to prove out that we should have never went to that deal in the first place. But we are where we are. And I think that when the intelligence that we were given, without going into detail, which I can't, there was no question it was time to act and time to strike.
Right. And after the fact is never good, especially for the victims who would be suffering from that.
Well, and that's just it. Here's what I've said to a lot of people. If the president and the administration did not take the opportunity in the window to take out Soleimani, and they would have carried out the attack, then the opposite side would have been saying, you had all this intelligence and you didn't do anything?
Exactly.
So here's the thing. When you're in that position, you have to make the decision based on the information that's given you. And I think the president did the right decision. However, you can always second guess it. And if people want to say, oh, well, he shouldn't have, well, then you're the same people who would be saying, oh, well, why didn't you at the end of that? So you can't have it both ways. As it is, what we've done is we've taken out a known terrorist that many former generals who have been around said he was as bad, if not worse, than Saddam Hussein. But we took him out, given the opportunity. Now, the thing was, remember, Saddam Hussein was, his name kind of got into the media. Soleimani, unless you were a military person or someone on the intelligence committee, you didn't realize how bad he was because many of his attacks had been thwarted, even though many of them that did and were carried out, we didn't give his name to let people know that this is the mastermind behind all of these. And so that's kind of the, you know, this is all things that, like I said, history will show, but here's one thing that I've discovered with this job, Jeff, and it's very important that no one understands. Every day, we have men and women around this world who are our intelligence community. They come from every branch of the military. They come from the FBI. They come from the CIA. They come from different specialty groups that know and understand these things. They monitor the communications that are going on in the Middle East and in Eastern Europe and other locations around the world. They know the movement. And each day, some sort of attack, if it's not being stopped that day, it's being monitored to be stopped the next day. You don't know how many there are, and you wouldn't want to know how many there are, and that's okay, because they're doing their job so that you can feel very, very safe right here in Southern Illinois or any place else in this United States, and quite often traveling around the world. So, you know, that's why it's important to remember there's a whole lot more to our military and other services and what they do every day that we don't see, and that we should be very, very thankful to them. And we are safe because of them.
Right.
And because of the information they give us.
Well, I was in the Air Force back in the early 80s, and people said, well, there wasn't a lot going on then. I said, well, There's a lot more going on than what people know.
Yeah, right. Remember, that's when I was in the Corps, late 70s, early 80s, and there was a constant preparation. And if you don't prepare, you get yourself into a situation. And Jeff, what we know from being in that time, remember, we had just come off the Iran hostage situation. I actually went in during the Iran hostage situation right as it started. During that time, we had let our guard down because people were tired of the Vietnam War. They didn't want to make the investment in the military. We were working with old equipment, this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, we realized that we were vulnerable. And thank heaven, we had a president in Ronald Reagan. When he came in, he changed things around and said, no, this is not wise. It's very clear our job is to provide for a national defense. And providing for a national defense is kind of like that commercial right now. If it's just good enough, that's probably not what you want.
True.
You know, I was so impressed back even when Mattis took over and the first Secretary of State under the president was on a stage, and they said this one thing, and I may have told on your show before, but it is vitally important to remember, and this is what I always want my Secretary of State and my lead men and women that are the head generals in control. Their statement was, we never want to send our sailors, Marines, soldiers, and airmen into a fair fight. That's right. As sensible of answer as I can have, because whenever it's time to send my son, someone else's son, someone else's daughter, my daughter, into a hazardous situation to do what they've been trained to do, I want them to have the best equipment, and I want them to outgun and outman and out everything else of anybody they're going up against. And that's what we owe them.
Right.
That's what we owe them.
We've got one more break here. Let's go ahead and slip that in real quick.
Okay.
And we'll come back. Okay. We're talking with Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak today, and we'll be back. And welcome back. Just a little bit of time left here on the program this morning. We're talking with Congressman Mike Bost. Congressman, I was just kind of looking through some different things here, and one thing I noticed, this came out on January the 2nd, was speaking about the military. You actually were... one of the representatives who proposed this legislation that helps with suicide prevention with our military members?
You bet. You bet. This is one that kind of, because of everything else, got dropped by the wayside. It was signed into law early or late last month. And it was, we have suicides in and among our veterans at a level of 20 per day. And everything that we've been doing so far, we're still staying right at 20 per day. Now, let me tell you what this does. This does a overview and a recreation to make sure that our suicide hotlines are brought up to snuff, that they're funded at the level they need to be, that we have them manned in a way with the best trained, the best possible people to be there for our veterans when to try to prevent this. Of course, another thing we've noticed, even after that this legislation doesn't deal with, that we will be working on in the Veterans Affairs Committee, is, Jeff, though we have those 20 that are committing suicide, and they are on the report, so we know that there are 20 a day. Of that, only 7, and actually less than 7, will have any contact with our Veterans Affairs Department. So in other words, they're not even reaching out. So we've got to make them aware and educate them educate the people out there on the streets to have them reach out to the people who are trained to help them the most. And, you know, this is a sad reality of what we've got to deal with. No one, not even one, is acceptable. However, understand that even in not only veterans, but others, anyone that would take their own life. As I used to say as a youth minister, don't take and have a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Exactly.
And And it is so vitally important that we reach out to our veterans. So this is to your listeners as well. If you see a veteran in need, the VA does provide many services. As many, it's a bigger bureaucracy, but we're trying to make it as easy and accessible as possible. And not only to tie it with the veteran, with the VA department, but also the private sector, where the VA will then cover your expenses when you, if you choose to go to a private either healthcare provider or mental health care provider.
Right. Lots of things we could talk about, but Congressman, I believe we're out of time. But
well, thank you so much for having me on. As always, I wish everybody a happy new year and look forward to talking to you next month.
All right. We will look forward to talking to you. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again next time. Have a great day.